It's a great pleasure to introduce Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, who has been a force to so many who are here, and an inspiring personality to so many of us all over the various communities in which we live. We thank him once again for taking up his time to come out. It's being recorded. And you can tell all your friends who are not here that the shiur will be posted on the website, and you can all take advantage of the wonderful words of Torah that Rabbi Weinberg will share with us. Without further ado.
Okay, good morning, everyone. It's almost good afternoon. Freilich and 4th of July. Maybe you should say Lichtiger with all the fireworks. Lichtiger 4th of July. But for many people, the 4th of July weekend, many people in America, that is, at least, it's a time where people start thinking about the summer. And it's a time where the feelings of summer start to get into full swing, and there's a spirit in the air, and people are thinking about vacationing and relaxing, and a change of pace, and the weather is nice, Baruch Hashem. People spend time at the beach and look for all sorts of ways to have a good time. And as Torah Jews, who also want to have a good time, and understand that perhaps for some people a good time cannot only be found in the context of learning Torah or in davening, people try to figure out what's the right way to take a break. What does the Torah say about having fun? What does the Torah say about taking a break? I was reading a couple Shabbosim ago, there's a biography of Rav Mendel Kaplan. Rav Mendel Kaplan was a great Rosh Yeshiva, Talmud of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. In fact, when Rav Elchanan left to travel to America to raise money, this young Rav Mendel Kaplan took over his shir, just to give you a sense of his stature and learning. Eventually he came, unfortunately, unlike Rav Elchanan, survived, and came to America. He was a Rav in Chicago for a number of years, and he was a Rosh Yeshiva in the Philadelphia, Rebbe in the Philadelphia Yeshiva for a number of years. So in his biography, the biography of Mendel Kaplan, Rav Mendel once said to someone, he said, "I've learned Chumash, I've learned through Shas, I've even learned a little bit of Nach." You know, for Rosh Yeshiva, Nach is not always their specialty. He said, "I even learned a little bit of Nach." He said, "And I looked and I didn't find anywhere that the Torah talks about having fun. I can't point to one Maamar Chazal, I can't point to one Pasuk where the Torah says that a person is supposed to have fun. Where does the Torah say that fun is a value for the Jewish people?" Happens to be the very next paragraph of the book, he told a certain young man he needs to start having more fun. And that says a lot about this personality of Rav Mendel. But again, what does the Torah say about having fun? What's the Torah approach to having fun? What's the Torah approach to taking a vacation, to taking some time off? The Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the 40 years that he was Rebbe, did not take a single vacation day. Not one vacation. He saw himself as on a certain shlichus, and there was no time for a break. You know, it's a far cry from the American president whose pictures on the golf courses all around the world are well known. So much so that some Republicans like to refer to the vacation chief. A number of days, millions of dollars that have been spent relaxing. Right? The difference between maybe our leaders and their leaders. But the question is, for the average Jew, right, who's not President Obama, who's not the Lubavitcher Rebbe either, what's the right approach? What's the balanced approach? How does a person, on the one hand, maintain a serious work ethic when it comes to Avodas Hashem, to have the consistency to serve Hashem day in and day out, where we don't really find that the Torah offers days off, there are no vacation days built into our package of being a Jew? Right? And how does a Jew find a good time, so to speak? Again, I'm using that phrase intentionally, you'll see why in a moment. But how does a Jew find a good time outside the Beis Medrash, outside the context of Torah and Tefillah? Look in source number one, Rav Moshe Feinstein, very interesting tshuva, Yerodeya Chelek Gimel Simen Ayin Av. It's a tshuva that's packed with all sorts of topics, very important hashkafos that Rav Moshe wants to present to us. And Rav Moshe says, V'hinei b'vedin aseinu, on the 4th of July, he says, here in America, May rov ha-bracha shenasan Hashem yisparach, yesh ratzon v'tayiv gadola lahanas olam hazeh b'chol ha-ta'anugim shekorin lezeh, good time. You see, Rav Moshe? Good time, you see? Where it's bolded, good time. Rav Moshe says, people like to have a good time. America, there's a lot of bracha. People are looking for a good time. People are looking for a way to have fun. Rav Moshe said, if my life's work becomes, how do I find my next good time? How do I find that next pleasure of Olam Hazeh? it can be very, very destructive to a person. It can be particularly destructive to a Jew who sees himself or herself on a very particular mission in this world. We train ourselves to seek all sorts of pleasures that we don't really need in our life. Very strong language for emotion. That we transform, a person can transform his midos so he becomes almost a wild person. You know, Nasa Adam. One of the interpretations of Nasa Adam, let us make man, is that the entire universe, the whole Bria, donated of itself to the creation of man. Which means within every single person, there's this unbelievably complex blend of all the wild animals in the jungle, and there's a part of us that enjoys that wild side. The chayus raw, so to speak, inside of ourselves, that are sometimes bursting to express themselves in all sorts of crazy and wild ways. At first, a person will pursue pleasures that are still within the dalad amos of halacha. But sometimes the desire for a good time becomes so strong that it's impossible for a person to even say no to those things which are not acceptable, not appropriate. Lo yimna af be'isser, that he can't refrain, he can't hold himself back from pursuing forbidden pleasures. Yes, there are going to be yechidei skula, there are going to be people like the Lubavitcher Rebbe who never need to find a good time outside of standing for hours and hours and helping Jews. And there are people who can sit for 18 hours straight in front of a sefer, and that's the greatest time for them in the world. But the human need for a good time, to express that in a healthy way, is something that's a reality. The human drive and need for stimulation is very, very real. Some identify, some secular sources, but certainly true sources, identify that one of the six human needs, one of the basic six human needs, is variety. In addition to one of the human needs being stability, a person likes to have a certain stability in their life, but there also needs to be variety to spice up life a little bit. And as human beings, albeit with a chelek alokam mimal and a shama that's seeking more, but as a human being, as a person of flesh and blood, every one of us has a desire and a need for variety and for stimulation and for different types of experiences. We say often, you know, our children need a break. Right? Our children need a break. They need to find other outlets, which is a nice way of us saying that we need to find other outlets. We blame it on our children. They're, you know, we need to find creative things for kids to do so that they don't get bored. Right? But it's important to find, how do we find healthy outlets? How do we find other ways to have meaningful experiences to satisfy this very natural thing of a human being? Pia Zetzner Rebbe writes in source number 2. We have a volume, Pia Zetzner Rebbe, who died at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. He recorded for us a very, very poetic and beautiful journal that was found after the war. It's called Tzav Viziras. It's very, very personal. He opens up in a very raw way in many passages, describing his experience and his spiritual struggles and desires for himself. And he writes very honestly in Os Tes, in source number 2. Nefesh ha'adam oheves nisragish. There's a very natural desire and need of a human soul that it craves hargasha, it craves stimulation. It likes to feel. Look what the Rebbe says. Lo al simcha levada. It's not only that the soul craves simcha, it craves positive stimulation. We just like to feel alive. People sometimes do such strange and crazy things just to feel their own existence. He says, "Stam lisragish ohevesi," just to feel something. What does that mean? Af lisragish be'etzev u'b'chiyah rotzihi. You ever hear the expression, a person wants to have a good cry? Right? A person likes to feel sometimes something very sad or something very intense. Likes to look at images of something very tragic in order to, again, to feel stimulated by it. People like to hear very frightening things. Some people like scary stories. Because again, it allows you to feel yourself. Your heart starts moving at a certain pace. You feel more alive. Just to feel something. And then the Pia Zetzner Rebbe writes, where it's bolded, Chok v'tzorech ha-nefeshi. This is a part of the human experience. Kishar chukoseh v'tzorech yoseh. Just like eating and sleeping, feeling. Having some degree of feeling, of stimulation. It's an integral part of the human experience. Lachein rak ha-ish ha-mashlim chukazos v'avoda uv'esrag shus ha-torah v'atfila. And therefore, only the person who finds ways to experience that excitement, that adventure, that good time in the context of Torah and Tefillah, Shomer Nafsho, such a person Gevaldik, he'll be guarded in this way. Masha Inkin concludes the Piyazat Rebbe, Misha Avodas Kadsho Below Is Rakshasi. But if I can't get that spirit of excitement from Lima Torah, or from Chesed, or from Tefillah, so then I start to look elsewhere. And I turn, as he writes here, I turn to cheap thrills, he says. And I turn to things which, exactly like Rav Moshe said, if I can't find it within the realm of Heter, so sometimes I drift off into the realm of Isser, into that which is prohibited. Torah and Tefillah. You see, the Piyazat Rebbe says, at least there's a possibility of Torah and Tefillah being exciting. Listen to how Rav Soloveitchik in 1973, he gave a Parsha class, Parshas Chayei Sarah, 1973, to the Rabbinic Alumni of Yeshiva University. Listen how the Rav described what Tefillah could be. What it could be. That's what the Piyazat Rebbe is saying here. Of course you can find it in Torah and Tefillah. For many of us it's not enough, and therefore we need to find other kosher outlets. But listen to how the Rav described what Tefillah can be. You don't have it on the page in front of you. Just listen to this quote from 1973. The Rav said, Tefillah is an art. We have totally forgotten this art. Today it is no more than a mechanical performance. True prayer is more than this. It is an attitude, a state of mind, creating a mood and a temperament for the worshiper. It is an exciting experience and an adventure. How many people go to shul in the morning, you pass someone on the street, they say, where are you going? I'm going to have an adventure. Really, you're going to have an adventure. Where are you going? I'm going to shul. I'm going to daven shachris. But the Rav says that could be an adventure. The Piyazat Rebbe says that could be an adventure. That can get one's heart pumping and racing, right, in a much healthier, maybe more appropriate way than watching a horror movie, which also causes a person to feel alive and to feel something intense that the Piyazat Rebbe is describing. But the question again is for the masses, for the people who don't always feel, unfortunately, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik was lamenting, those of us who don't always feel that, right, again, we feel it sometimes, we don't always feel that Torah and Tefillah is all that I need to get my fill. So how do I address that need for variety? How do I address that chok ha-nefesh that the Piyazat Rebbe is describing here? As a Torah true Jew who sees himself on a mission and doesn't want to break from that mission, doesn't want to remove myself from the values that I hold dear, so how do I find variety in a perfectly kosher way? Rav Kook was way ahead of his time when Rav Kook was advocating in Oros, and he did it, of course, Rav Kook did it in his very metaphysical type of way, as opposed to addressing it more in Olam Haza, practical way. But Rav Kook was way ahead of his time and faced tremendous criticism for the fact that he encouraged people to exercise. Rav Kook said, young men need to exercise. And Rav Kook, of course, had a spiritual take on it. What happens when a person exercises? How that's an act of, it's a very spiritual act, which is part of the reason he was criticized. Right? But how do we find kosher outlets? What are the kosher activities? And I'm not going to necessarily offer somebody specific suggestions. I leave that to your rabbanim. I think it's very important, based on societal norms in different communities, right, what's considered appropriate and what's not considered appropriate. So I'm not gonna stand here offering suggestions of fun things you could do this summer. But I want to address the issue bigadol. Again, for the person who's not able, and that's the masses, who's not able to only draw excitement out of that which is an obviously religious experience. Where do we find? How do we satisfy this craving of the soul? So to begin, we have to understand what a Jew is. We have to understand what the expectations are. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of us? What is the nature of our mission? How serious does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take our lives? And that will allow us to reflect on how we ourselves should make decisions. Again, there's no days off in Yiddish time. You don't get a free pass. Right? My daughter came home, you know, this year, she had a homework pass. Right? That you do something good and then you get a day off. You don't have to do your homework the next day. You don't have that. You don't have a day where Hashem says, you know what, you're not in the mood to wear tefillin today, that's okay. You're not in the mood to make a bracha right now, that's alright. Shabbos is a little burdensome, it was a busy week, take off 1 week. We don't have that option. And again, it's tragic if we think that we would want that option. Right? But there's a part of us that sometimes is looking for variety. We have to find proper ways to express that. So what does Hashem expect from us? What are the standards that Kodesh Baruch Hu expects us to live by? So I always think of the comment of the Svarno, commenting on a pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Re. In source number 3, Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom Bracha Uklala. As a Jew is, so to speak, sworn in to a life of Avodas Hashem, Hashem says, you're trapped between the world of Bracha and Klala, blessing and curse. So the obvious question is there nothing in the middle? My life is going to be either entirely blessed or entirely cursed. What about something maybe more neutral, something in the middle? Some room for ups and downs? Says the Svarna, is there a middle ground? Can a Jew approach his own life or her life with an appreciation, a recognition that there's some type of middle ground, some type of comfort zone that's not so extreme between the worlds of Bracha and Klala? Says the Svarna, not really. Says the Svarna in source number 4, Habitu Re'eh. Pasuk says, Re'eh, look carefully. Meditate upon this idea. Think about this carefully. Shelo yiyeh in yanecha al ofen beinoni. There's no such thing as being an average Jew. There's no average in Yiddishkeit. Kamo shehu haminag b'shar ha'umos. Again, July 4th, you know, the American dream. I want to hang my flag and spend the rest of the day grilling. It's Gavaldik. I have my 2.2 kids. I got my white picket fence. I got my dog. Got my steady job. Blue collar job. Everything's great. And the Svarna says, Hashem's not giving you that option. Hashem says, there's no beinoni. There's no average Joe. There's no average Jew. You're trapped between the worlds. You need to make a choice. You're either fully in, or unfortunately, Rachman al-Tzlan, God forbid, the opposite. The hein shnei ha-kitzvo, says the Svarna, where it's bolded. These are the two extremes. Bracha means tremendous success. Klala means, obviously, the very opposite of that. But what if I want something in the middle? It doesn't seem the Torah is giving us that option. It doesn't seem like Torah is giving us a middle ground that's more nuanced. Seems very, very extreme, very, very demanding. Or how about the Gemara and Megillah? You don't have it on the page in front of you. The Gemara and Megillah on Daf Tes Zayin, or Yehuda Ba'ulai, notes the fact that the Jewish people are compared on one hand to the stars and compared to the dirt. And Rabbi Yehuda Ba'ulai, very similar to the Svarno, says, Kishahein Yardin, when the Jews are down, Yardin ad Afar. Kishahein Olin, when the Jews are on top, Olin ad Kochav. There's nothing in the middle. We're either at the heights of the world or the lowest of the low, we're being trampled in the dirt. Sometimes we feel that way. But there's no middle. There's nothing, again, that's a little bit more nuanced. How about Rabbi Tarfon's mission statement for a Jew? Again, to get a sense of what Hashem expects of us. Is there wiggle room? Is there time to take a break? Says the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Doesn't sound that way. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, source number 5. Hayom katsar, the day is short. Life is quick. V'hamalacha merubah, there's a lot to do. V'hakolim atzeilim. And often the workers are lazy. Which means if you recognize your mission, you need to pick up the slack for someone else. V'aschar harbei, the opportunity to earn much schar is available. U'bal habayis dochik. And the Baal HaBayis, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the master of this house called the world, is very demanding. The expectations are great. Yes, Rabbi Tarfon continues, Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. You're not expected to finish everything. That's good. That's comforting. But at the same time, Velo ata ben chorin libatelna. He says you have to do everything you can to do as much as you can. So now you start to understand why the Lubavitch Rebbe in 40 years felt there's no time for vacation. There's no time for a break. This is what Chazal are telling us. This is the mission statement of a Jew. This is what the Torah is telling us. It doesn't seem like, again, that there's this middle-of-the-road path that a person could choose to take. So is the Torah really so extreme? No, in the world which we're living, a lot of extreme behavior in all arenas of life, right? It would be strange for us to think that the Jewish people are the extremists of the world. But it's very extreme. It seems to be a very, very extreme approach to living one's life. Where I have to just keep going and keep going and keep going, never stopping to catch one's breath. I'm expected to reach the highest heights, or I'm doomed to fall to the lowest depths. Is there nothing in the middle? The Sefer came out a couple years ago. Feldman put out a book called Deya Es Hashem. I picked it up in the Sfarim store a number of years ago when it first came out. Wasn't familiar with the author of Avram Yishayo Truk. That's a nice haskama. The topic looked very interesting. I picked up the Sefer. And in that Sefer Deya Es Hashem on page 104, he says that one time some strong-willed Bachrim came to him and asked this Rav, is it good to be extreme about Torah? What does the Torah say about being extreme? Should we extreme? You know, they were clearly passionate about their Yiddishkeit, and they felt if they want to be serious Jews, they have to be extreme about everything. So they asked this Rav, does the Torah encourage us to be extreme? Is it good to be extreme about Torah? So he said back to them, yes. We should be very, very extreme about Torah. But we have to know what Torah is. We have to know what Torah is. We have to figure out what Torah is and then be very extreme about that. It doesn't always mean that something, because it's very extreme, that equals Torah. I don't think anyone in this room identifies, or any of our Rebbeim identify with an ideology of Neturei Karta. That's extreme. And our rebbeim would tell us that that's not Torah. So that's not something we're going to embrace. We need to figure out what is authentic Torah and then take it to the nth degree. I think that's what Rabbi Tarfon is telling us. I think that's what Yehuda Bar Yehudah is telling us. You have to realize a Jew's place in the world is very significant. And therefore we have to take the decisions that we make very seriously. And therefore I'd like to suggest the following. I think what we have to try to do here is to be extreme in our thoughtfulness in making decisions. We have to be extreme. We see the Chazal are presenting, the Torah is presenting an extreme existence for a Jew. And therefore maybe for us in the world in which we live today, in striking a balance, we need to be extremely balanced. We need to live extremely well-balanced lives. We need to be extremely thoughtful about the breaks and the vacations and the time away from the Beis Medrash, the time away from tefillah, the time away from classic, obvious expressions of religious living. We need to be very extreme in making those decisions and doing it with tremendous thoughtfulness and great precision. What's the middle path? We know there's a middle path. The Rambam, in the Shmona Prakim, which is his introduction to Pirkei Avos, the Rambam describes in the third and fourth parak that just as a person could be physically ill and needs a doctor to nurse him back to health, so too a person could be spiritually ill. This is what the Rambam writes in the third parak of the Shmona Prakim. You could be spiritually ill and you need to go to a spiritual doctor. And the Rambam is beautiful to show us, describing how our Rebbeim, our teachers, they serve as our spiritual doctors. They serve to guide us through this world. And then the Rambam writes in the fourth parak, that just like when a person has a physical imbalance, you have to sometimes swing to the other side in order to balance it out, but the goal is to strike some type of equilibrium, sof kol sof, at the end of the day. So says the Rambam, the same thing is true when we look at the various midos. In the various midos, a person could be very much a stingy person, a person could be spendthrift. Right? The Rambam says, that's bad and that's bad. We need to be extreme about walking a very balanced middle path, is what the Rambam says. And the Rambam codifies this lahalacha in his Hilchos Deos in source number 6. The Rambam writes in the first parak of Hilchos Deos, Haderech HaYeshara. Right? We have to be very extreme about this Rambam, but you'll see it's being extreme, being balanced. The Rambam says, Haderech HaYeshara hi mida beinonis. Right? That same mida beinonis that the Sfarno said has no place for a Jew, says the Rambam, the proper path is the middle path, the golden mean. Shebechol Deya v'deya mikhol Deos sheyesh lo la'adam. I should be equidistant in my distancing myself from the extremes. And therefore, some person needs to calculate very precisely, very thoughtful about the decisions that I make to make sure am I living a life of balance, that I'm traveling b'derech ha'emtzait. And the Rambam concludes the halacha by saying that this is the derech hachachamim. Kol adam shedei osav deos beinonus memutzaos nikra chacham. A person who knows himself or herself well and is able to live with that balance, to assess myself properly, not to assess myself by the umas ha'olam, which sometimes strive for something beneath our standards, not to assess ourselves by the greatest tzaddikim, who are able to live lives that perhaps are above our standards. But to be able to look at oneself and to figure out what is the proper balance for me? How do I strike a balance between spending time doing classical Jewish mitzvahs and finding other ways to elevate more mundane things? Every person wants to be a Torah true Jew. Every Jew wants to be a Torah true Jew. What does it take to acquire Torah? Again, you look at Chazal, it's very threatening. You almost want to run off to the beach because you feel like you have no chance. You look at Parakinyan Torah, the sixth chapter that's added on to Pirkei Avos. And it says there are 48 things that a person has to use, tools that a person uses to acquire Torah. And the list is stifling, it's very overwhelming. We look at ourselves and say, I'm a regular guy, I can't expect to ever acquire Torah if I'm going to follow this recipe. What does the recipe say? Miut sheina, very little sleep. Miut sicha, less conversation. Miut tanug, less pleasure. Miut tzchok, no time for cracking jokes. You're cracking jokes, you're not going to be serious, you'll never acquire Torah. Miut derech eretz. Derech eretz in all of its translations. Right? So you picture this person, he's cutting himself off from the world around him, he's cutting himself out from normal human needs, seemingly, in order to acquire Torah. It seems very extreme. And of course, there were tzaddikim who lived this in the most literal fashion. Miut sicha. Let me tell you what I saw in the biography of the Vilna Gaon. again, the Vilna Gaon is the Vilna Gaon. We have to assess ourselves in a way that's appropriate for us. But just to give us a sense, in the biography of the Vilna Gaon by Rabbi Bezalel Landau, Hagon HaChassid MiVilna, the art scroll biography of the Vilna Gaon is taken, as much of it's a translation of this volume by Rabbi Bezalel Landau. He says, the Gra had a precise calculation of how much time every year he thought he wasted, right? How much time was not spent in an ideal fashion of learning Torah. And it came out to a number of minutes and hours, you know, a few hours over the course of a year. 3 hours, it says, that the Gra would cry over the fact that he wasted 3 hours. How extreme was the Gra about his learning? And again, Lefi Madrigaso, it wasn't extreme at all. That was the middle path for him. The Vilna Gaon met up with his sister. His sister came to visit. He hadn't seen her in over 50 years. The Vilna Gaon emerged from his study. He recited, greeted his sister. He recited the bracha that one recites over not seeing a good friend or relative over the course of a year, Chaim Mason. And then the girl asked her a couple of questions about herself and her family to see how she was doing. And then the Vilna Gaon turned to his sister who he hadn't seen over 50 years, after a couple of minutes. And he said, as you can see, my dear sister, my beard is white, which means my time in this world is limited. I'm getting older, and I simply don't have the time. I wish I could spend more time with you. I simply don't have the time. I need to use my time only for learning Torah. And he excused himself. He left his wife to sit and to schmooze with her, and the Vilna Gaon went back to his study. Right? What did you say? It's not. It's not. I'm just trying to show you that the... Right. So if I were to do the same thing... Right? Right? The same way many great doctors, going back to the Rambam's mashal, returning to the Rambam's mashal, the same way a brain surgeon who has a delicate procedure to perform will sometimes excuse himself from his child's basketball game. Okay. He was the world's greatest surgeon. It was a sacrifice. There's no question. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't tell you. What'd you say? Right. And again, that was the Vilna Gaon. That's not for us. And I think I'm making it clear that that's not for us. We have to assess according to our level. So let me show you another shot from the Vilna Gaon. Am I saying it's ideal? No, I did not say that's ideal. A different level. I didn't say higher level. A different level. Listen, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman didn't attend his son's bris. If any of my students asked me, you know, if anyone asked me, would it be appropriate for anyone in the world today not to attend his child's bris? The Chafetz Chaim told him that if you're not a moel, you don't need to attend your son's bris. It meant traveling back to his own son's bris. By our standards, that's insane. That wouldn't make sense. And anyone who did that is either a very great tzaddik who sees things in a way that's beyond our understanding, or is a person who's delusional. So I agree with you. If I, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, didn't make time for my sister, I don't have a sister, but if I didn't make time for my parents or my grandparents or my siblings, that would be delusional, because I make time for a lot of other things in this world. But the Vilna Gaon, who felt that he was responsible for upholding the world through his Torah study, and as Jews we believe, like the Nefesh HaChaim says, that the world functions and survives because of those who study Torah, there's going to be one person, perhaps in the world, in the last several hundred years, who's on that level. And I think we have to not be scornful of it. I think we have to be careful in our critique of it. I also agree with you fully that this is not something that we preach to the masses, and I think I'm being clear about that. I'm certainly not encouraging this, and I'm not advocating it for the masses. I think that's clear. So let me show you another approach to the Vilna Gaon. Let me show you how the same Vilna Gaon reads that same Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and that's why I brought this reference. I'm not trying to inspire you to be the Vilna Gaon. I brought this reference to contrast it with another comment from the Vilna Gaon in explaining that phrase of Chazal, Miyot Sifa. Again, I'm trying to show you, the Vilna Gaon took very literally Miyot Sifa. He felt that to spend time talking to his sister, given his standards, and given his role as a leader of the Jewish people, was such that Miyot Sifa had to be fulfilled in the most literal fashion. And that was sacrifice, and that was something I assume he took very seriously. Let me show you a different way to read. In source number 7, there's a volume called Meitzach Aaron, or Aaron Valkin. Rav Aaron Valkin happens to be, for some strange reason, many of the sources we quote today are people who lost their lives tragically al Kiddush Hashem. Piyaz Etzin Rebbe lost his life at the hands of the Nazis. Rav Aaron Valkin here also died al Kiddush Hashem. in the back of his drushos, there's a little description of his life, written by either his child or one of the students. And in the Toldos HaMechaber, in the back of the Sefer, it describes his commitment to learning and how he didn't waste a moment. And then, listen to what the Sefer writes. Almost as if to justify his time spent schmoozing with others. And again, for someone of his level, maybe it needs justification. Maybe not for people like ourselves, but for someone of his stature, perhaps it does. So look what he explains here, in source number 7. Im lif'omim nichlas bedvarim echad. If it seemed that times are of Aaron Valkin, would spend time engaged in idle conversation. This was deemed necessary in order to break up one subject from the next. Because a mind needs to rest. Now, look what he said. Look what Rav Aaron Valkin quoted, b'shem none other than the Vilna Gaon. Because the Vilna Gaon was not also advocating that we should live like the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was telling us to live in accordance with our standards. He held himself to a higher standard. I don't think that's a strange thing. V'shamati mimenu b'shem Rabbeinu HaGrami Vilna. Levar ha'deshanu umanu chacham. That which our sages count as one of the 48 acquisitions of Torah, miyut sicha. So we immediately read it the very religious way, the very firm way. Miyut sicha means what? Talk less. If you want to achieve in this world, there's no time for idle conversation. That's one way to read the Mishnah. But the Vilna Gaon said, don't be so negative. The Vilna Gaon said, read it positively. Read it positively. Don't read it miyut sicha. If you want to be serious about learning Torah, don't spend time with your chavrusa engaged in idle chatter. Don't waste the moment. Says the Vilna Gaon, miyut sicha is an imperative. You need to spend some time schmoozing. Look what he writes, it's beautiful. And it's much more in accordance with our law. Shezeinu b'shlila, it's not said in the negative. Chazal are not saying less and less and less and less. What Chazal are saying is, you do need to take a little time to schmooze. And you can read all of the miyuts that way. Miyut shena, you do need time to take a little nap once in a while. Miyut tanuk, you do need to enjoy a good restaurant once in a while. Miyut tzchok, you do need to crack an occasional joke. It can't become your life's work to spend your whole life cracking jokes. But a little bit has a place. And it's encouraged. And it allows a person to come back to the Beis Medrash or back to tefillah, feeling refreshed, feeling revived. And therefore a person does need to pursue this type of approach, where we allow ourselves, again within reason, to take a break. And the Torah calls for it. And it calls it one of the Kinyanei Torah, according to the way the Vilna Gaon is reading it. So therefore, I would like to present this type of balanced approach. How is it that we are able to strike this balance, again, more in line with that middle path that the Rambam is advocating for, not like the Vilna Gaon and the Lubavitch Rebbe, which are the extremes. Not extremes in an incorrect way. I want to stand behind that. I believe that these are people who made sacrifices for the betterment of the world, and I think we have to be thankful to them. But how do we, as the masses, walk, so to speak, that middle path that the Rambam is saying is the path of Chachamim, a regular Chachamim like ourselves, people who want to live a life of purpose and meaning. And I think it's captured so beautifully in the words of David HaMelech, as explained by the Chafetz Chaim. Take a look at source number 8. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Shiru lo zamru lo sichu b'chol niflosav. The Chafetz Chaim would tell his students the following. You want to sing? Singing is great. You want to schmooze? Schmoozing is great. But just let Hashem be a part of it. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu be involved. You want to sing? Singing is good. You have a talent for singing? Embrace that talent. Don't squash that talent. I know a very chashuv Rosh Yeshiva. Many of his own children are very, very musical. And he encourages them to play. He doesn't tell them it's Bittel's man to play instruments. He doesn't tell them it's Bittel's man to talk to one another. But they make sure that they do it in a way that a Jew forms those things. You want to sing? Shiru lo. Sing to Hashem. Let Hashem be a part of it. Let Hashem have a hand in it. Sichu, you want to talk? Bechol niflosa. Make sure that once in a while the conversation also is about the wonders of Hashem's world. You want to travel to see the Grand Canyon? Gavaldik. Go see the Grand Canyon. But make sure Hashem is part of that trip. Make sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu is included. Make sure you marvel at the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the key word is love. Shiro, you can sing all you want, just make sure he's a part of it. Zamru, make sure he's a part of it. Sichu, make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a part of it. Because the world was not given to us. And this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein, again, in unusually strong language for Rav Moshe, was criticizing. People who think that the world is just one giant playground for them to have a good time. That they should be able to find a good time in Hanas Olam Hazeh. That's a perversion of our mission in this world. But Hashem says, enjoy my world. Enjoy my world. Just let me be a part of it. Let me be a part of the adventure. Let me be a part of the experience. couple of weeks ago we read in source number 9 about the Oshem Gezeilus. Read about a person who steals, commits a crime, and it's interesting that in the context over there in Parshas Naso, in describing this Karban Oshem, it says in Pasuk Zayin where it's bolded, V'hisvadu es chathasam. A person has to do vidui over one's sin. You have to confess. This is the source, one of the sources, that the Rambam points to, and Hilchos Tshuva is the source for vidui. You do an aveira, you have to make sure that what? That you confess, that you express your regret. So says the Chidush HaRim, it's recorded in source number 10 in the Likutei HaRim, says the Chidush HaRim, I don't understand. The Rambam quotes this pasuk, the Torah places the mitzvah, the responsibility of tshuva, which is defined as vidui, in the context of theft. Why in the context of theft? As if that's the only avera that a person has to do vidui for. And the Chidush HaRim explains very beautifully, based on the Gemara. The Gemara contrasts two psukim, Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara says, on the one hand, LaHashem ha'aretz u'mlo'a. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not for us. It was never given to us. It's not for us to enjoy. On the other hand, the Pasuk says, Va'aretz lasam livnei adam. Hashem gave us the world to settle, to conquer, to be a part of. Right? Lonely man of faith, Adam 1, Adam 2. The world is for us to harness the energy of the world, to enjoy the world, to take charge of the world. So says the Gemara, so which is it? Does the world belong to Hashem? Or is the world a giant playground for us to enjoy? Says the Gemara, before you make a bracha, it belongs to Hashem. Once you've made the bracha, once you've acknowledged Hashem's hand in it, now you have permission to enjoy the world. Says the Chidush HaRim, why is it that in the context of Gezeila, we're introduced to the concept of tshuva? Write the Chidush HaRim in a couple of lines in source number 10. He says, a person who sins, four lines from the end, Memeila ha'adam shechote ezeche nikra kodem bracha. A person who sins is like a person who's kodem bracha. He shows a lack of appreciation, a lack of understanding that the world initially belongs to Hashem. And I'm allowed to enjoy the world. But if I don't do it in a way, whether again it's my own talents and abilities and strengths, it's my own body, whether it's, again, using the world around me for my own pleasure, if I don't invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, if I don't, so to speak, make a bracha on that pleasure, on that experience, then I'm stealing from Hashem. Then LaHashem Ha'aretz U'mlo'a, it still belongs to Hashem. And it's not for me to enjoy. And therefore, says the Chidush HaRim, three lines from the end, She'ilu hayazeh bar etzlo, she'akol me'Hashem yisbach. If this individual would have recognized that the world belongs to Hashem, and that a person can't even raise his finger, referencing the Gemara in Chulin, without Hashem's permission, lo hayachote, we would never sin. And therefore, every aveira, in a certain sense, says the Chidush HaRim, is considered mi'ila. It's a form of theft. When I take my own abilities, my own strengths, my own talents, and I only use them for self-serving pleasure, if I take Hashem's world, and I only use it for my own personal stimulation, without any recognition, if I don't take Hashem along on that summer vacation, on that summer trip, if Hashem's not involved, and Hashem says, it's a misuse of my world, it's gezeila. You've stolen from me. And therefore concludes the Chidush HaRim, Nichlal b'pasuk zeh kol ha'isur. A proper understanding to every avera, anytime I misuse something, and I commit an avera, it's a form of theft. And therefore the Torah introduces us to the concept of tshuva, it positions the mitzvah of vidui in the context of tshuva, in Parshas Naso, as it describes the person who has stolen, who has taken something that doesn't belong to him. Hashem says, enjoy my world. Enjoy my world. Again, just let me be a part of it. Let me travel with you. What did we just read very recently? Again, all of these recent parshas, you can find hints to this idea, because the Torah speaks to us as we approach the summer months. In source number 11, over and over, Parshas Ba'alosa, not that long ago, how does the parsha present the travels of Bnei Yisrael? Al pi Hashem Yisu Bnei Yisrael, Al pi Hashem Yachadu. Couple psukim later again, Al pi Hashem Yachnu, Al pi Hashem Yisal. End of the parak. Couple psukim later, Al pi Hashem Yachnu, Al pi Hashem Yisal. By the word of God they camped. By the word of God they traveled. By the word of God they traveled. By the word of God they camped. Says the Shlach Hakadosh in the 16th century, Rav Yeshaya Halevi Horowitz in source number 12. What's the Torah telling us? What does it mean to travel Al pi Hashem? V'chein l'masa hamachanos yisoru kadesh Al pi Hashem Yisal, Al pi Hashem Yachnu. When the Jews travel, they did so with a real deep sense and appreciation that Hashem travels with us where we go in this world. When a person is at home, I serve Hashem one way. And when I'm on the road, I serve Hashem the same way. Hakol yiyeh hadveikus bo yisbarach balichasim ubechazarasim. I don't change my standards based on where I find myself. If I'm in the community, I act one way. When I leave the community, I act a different way. Right? When I'm sitting and learning, I act with a certain, when I come to shul with a certain decorum. And when I go out to the world, all of a sudden, I lower my standards and I lower my values. Says the Shva Kadosh, that's not the way a Torah Jew travels. Alpi Hashem Yisal, Alpi Hashem Yachanu, and then the Torah reverses it. Alpi Hashem Yachanu, Alpi Hashem Yisal. As if to say, says the Shla, that they're interwoven one to the other. Makesh Achanayu l'nesiyah v'nesiyah l'chanayah. To connect in this deep way. The way that I travel, the way that I sit in my home. It's all the same if I'm true to myself and I'm true to my mission in this world. Hashem says, go out, enjoy. But do it in a responsible way. Do it in a way with an awareness that this is my world. And we travel together through the world. And this actually answers a very interesting question that the Gemara raises. The Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, says we learn the laws of the Malachos of Shabbos from the Mishkan. We learn the Halachos of Binyan, of Bona and Soser, of building and demolishing from the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, hold on a second. The Halach is that it's only considered destroying if it's Soser Amenas Livnos Limkoma. It's only considered breaking something apart if I intend to build it bimkomo in that same place. The Mishkan, every time they took it apart, they built it in a different place. Listen to the Chassidish answer. It sounds like something from a Chassidish Sefer, the Gemara answers. Listen to what the Gemara says. Lamed Aleph Amud Beis in Shabbos. The Gemara says, when the Jews traveled, they were still in the same place. What do you mean they're in the same place? Geographically, they're not in the same place. Says the Gemara, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, when you travel with Hashem, it's kesosa amanas livnos b'makom odam. It's exactly like you're in the same place. Because if I really live my life with Hashem by my side, it really doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter if I'm in the Beis Medrash, if I'm playing basketball on a basketball court. Wherever I am, I walk with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why Hashem is called makom. Hashem is makomo shel olam. Hashem is everywhere that you find yourself. Hashem is there. The Sichus Musar from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz in Parshas B'Shalach gives a beautiful mashal to express this idea. He quotes this Gemara. And he says it's like a baby in its mother's arms. The mother could be going through all sorts of experiences over the course of the day, but the baby knows one thing, I'm in my mommy's arms. That's all the child knows. It could be a very happy time, it could be a very tragic time. And the baby, there's a certain constant in this child's life because it feels that it's an embrace of its mother. A Jew travels with Hashem feels the same way. That I'm always in, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's loving embrace. And I never find myself outside of that makom. Chedushei Arim, first Ger Rebbe we quoted a moment ago, had a Talmud, had a Chassid, who was traveling to Paris. He's going for 3 weeks to Paris on business. So the Chedushei Arim said to him, listen, I hear that they have unbelievable cigars in Paris. You know, first class cigars. He said, Rebbe, I didn't know you like cigars. He said, yeah, I would like if you could bring me a box of cigars from Paris. A box of cigars from Paris? Chiddush, okay. Ever knew the Rebbe liked to have a good cigar? Yeah, appreciate if you could bring me cigars. So he goes on business, and a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, he's so busy making money, he's totally forgotten about the Rebbe, he's forgotten about the community, he forgot about the cigars. On his way back, he's traveling back, he stops off, he realizes, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to see the Rebbe soon, I forgot the cigars. So he stops off somewhere, he goes into a store, he says, do you have these cigars? I need it, it's very important. They say, listen, we're at this cigar shop, you know, we have Belgian cigars, just as good as the cigars that they have in Paris. This is fine. It's you know, in terms of value, it's the exact same quality. No problem. So he buys a box of these Belgian cigars, and he comes back to the Chedushei Arim. Rebbe says, "Nu, how was the trip?" He says, "Rebbe, the trip was gewaldic. Everything was great, very successful. Here's the cigars. I brought you the cigars." And he starts telling him the story. You know, truthfully, Rebbe, I have to be honest. I forgot about the cigars until the last minute, but don't worry. I fulfilled the mission. I brought back the cigars. So the Rebbe looks at him and he says, "I don't smoke. Do you think I want a box of cigars from Paris or from Belgium?" He said, "I wanted you to know the entire time that you were traveling. I wanted you to remember that you have a Rebbe who loves you, a Rebbe who watches out for you, a Rebbe who's thinking about you. You have a community that has certain standards of living. I wanted you to take that with you on your business trip. I didn't need a box of cigars." And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us. Hashem says, listen, it's a dangerous world. As Chazal say, "Kol adrachim b'chezka sakana." It's very easy to lose oneself when we're out of our comfort zone, we're out of our natural environment. But Hashem says, just remind yourself that I'm with you, Alpi Hashem Yachanu, and Alpi Hashem Yisal. And it's much easier to maintain the standards of living that we all want to live by. Magnificent Sefer Hadrash Ve'Iyun. We come to the end of the shir. Hadrash Ve'Iyun from Aaron Levine, the Reisha Rav. Again, also died al Kiddush Hashem. The Reisha Rav, a beautiful, very difficult Sefer to get one's hands on. And the Hadrash Ve'Iyun in Parsha Sav, he quotes a Yerushalmi. Such a beautiful explanation. I'll just read the Yerushalmi inside and share you his explanation outside because the hour is late. But he says on the pasuk, Eish Tamid Tukaram Mizbeach Lo Sichta. The fire is always burning. Always burning. What about when they traveled? Says the Talmud Yerushalmi Maseches Yoma, Lo Sichta Af B'Masavs. Even as they traveled, the fire on the Mizbeach continued to burn. And there's a lot to say in terms of Niglos HaTorah, in terms of the revealed halachic ramifications of that. But he says, I'd like to explain B'derech Drush. He said, there are people who, of course, when they're in their hometown, when they're with their normal friends and family, normal surroundings, they live by a certain standard. And the fire of Torah burns within them. But the second they hit out on the road, the second they start to travel, all of a sudden that fire seems to disappear. Look how Klal Yisrael traveled. That lo sichta af b'masos, even as the Jews made their way, no matter where they were, they carried a Kadosh Baruch Hu with them. They carried that fire in the Mizbeach with them. There was no shift in their standard of living or appreciation of awareness of being Shevisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. And that's how we have to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. We can't decide that because the world is more casual during the summer, that our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes more casual. That everything becomes a source of negotiation, that the standards, again, that I normally uphold, be it in terms of kashrus, in terms of davening, in terms of going places that maybe a Jew doesn't belong, and just because I want to go doesn't mean that I can go. Right? It becomes challenging, and it's difficult, and we need to be creative, especially for our children, to find other outlets besides learning. Rav Kook's suggestion of playing a little sports, a little bit of exercise, right, I think we all agree is something that's appropriate and has a place in order to mix it up, to offer the variety in one's life. We can't expect that everyone's going to be the next Gadol Hador, and not everyone's going to live by the standards of the only Gaon or the Lecturer. But what we can expect is that we can teach ourselves, we can teach our children, that wherever I go, I'm a Jew. And wherever I go, Kadosh Baruch Hu travels with me. And my relationship with Hashem is not something that can so easily be erased. And I want to end with a very powerful comment from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains, V'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem, chayim kulchem hayom. That those who cling to Kadosh Baruch Hu, chayim kulchem hayom. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Amazing. Listen to this. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, in the sixth parak, lists seven names of Hashem. It's based on the Gemara. Seven names of Hashem that cannot be erased. The question becomes, Chazal discussed, the Rambam Paskins, what about a prefix or a suffix? What if it says La Hashem? Does that Lamed in front of Hashem's name become part of Hashem's name? Or can I erase it? What about Elokeichem or Elokecha? If I add a suffix, I attach a letter or two to the end of Hashem's name. Is that part of Hashem's name? Can that be erased? Can that not be erased? The Rambam rules as follows. A prefix can be erased. A suffix can't be erased. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains as follows. Do I put Hashem out in front and attach myself to Hashem? Because if I do, that can't be erased. But if I decide to put some type of prefix in front of Hashem, that can be erased, that can be severed. That relationship can be lost. And therefore the bracha that the Torah gives us, you'll remember this, every time we take out the Torah and we say, V'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it's beautiful. V'atem, it's a bracha. You should be davak to Hashem, Elokeichem. You should be attached to Hashem like the word Elokeichem itself. Like the chem, like the suffix of the word Elokeichem that can't be erased. That should be your relationship with Hashem. And if you live like that, then chayim kulchem hayom. Wherever you go, you'll be able to travel with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I give us a bracha as we come to the month of Tammuz, a month that's particularly tragic and difficult for the Jewish people. And the world around us, people are looking, preparing, thinking in terms of summer vacation, summer adventures, right? To remind ourselves, like Rav Soloveitchik said, one of the greatest adventures, if we're honest and we experience it in a real way, is Torah, is Tefillah. Those are real. But if we feel that we need some variety, and many of us do, and it's understandably so, and it's a chol kanefesh, like the P.S.S. and Rebbe told us, we should at least remind ourselves, let's travel with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's show a Kadosh Baruch Hu that as your children, right, we're going to give you nachas when we travel. And I mean that with the final source. We know that the month of Tammuz, every month, the 12 months correspond to different Shvatim. It's a little bit more of an arichas, again, we don't have time for it now, but the Shvatim are lined up with the different months, and the month of Tammuz, Haba Aleinu L'Tova, that comes in this week, corresponds to Shevet Reuven. Why was Reuven called Reuven? So the pasuk seems to tell us, because Hashem saw the plight of Leah. But if you look at the final source, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that a different drasha, against the Chumash, almost, if you will. Reuven Amar Bielazar, Amar Leah. Reu Ma Bein Bini Leven Chame. Reuven highlights, look at the difference, the way my child acts, versus the child of my father-in-law, reference to Esav. Look how Esav goes out to the fields. Look how Esav goes out to the world, as a conqueror, looking to dominate and to control others and take advantage of those who are less fortunate than he. Contrast that, says Leah, with my sweet little Reuven. Look how my son acts. And therefore the month of Tammuz is a time when the Jewish people can highlight, we also take a break, we also vacation, we also need to relax once in a while. But the way that we do it is very different than the way that sometimes the world has a good time. And we do it in such a way that it gives a lot of nachas to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. So Mir Tashem, we should have a safe summer, we should have a productive summer, we should have a summer where our Tammuz Dveikim Hashem Elokeichem, where our relationship with Hashem is not negotiable. It can never be erased. And Amir Hashem, if we travel with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in that way, Api Hashem Yisal, Api Hashem Yachanu, it will give tremendous nachas ruach to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity.